We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 1,488 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Emschen alongside Ned for a short this evening. How are you, Ned?
I'm fine. Sure. So it's not a short non-political. Just in
case we're going to try. Yeah, we're going to try to stay away from that stuff. But yeah, it was
excellent.
It's a short one. It's going to be one of these. We're going to try and throw some funny stuff in there, too. I think we had enough of that just a few minutes ago. So,
it's okay. Life's funny.
Yeah, it is. It is. Just before we get started here, I'd like to give a status update on Marty. He sent me some photos over from, if they'll load. Hold on.
You mean the POM?
Yeah.
The prisoner of Mother England in Australia has sent us some photographs.
He sent some photographs over. Yes, he did send them over. He sent them via email. He hasn't actually responded to me yet. Well, he did via text, and we're going to set something up at some point here really soon. And of course, the photos won't load. We'll see if we can get those. Yeah, we'll see if we can get those loaded, and we'll see if we can come back to them later. But anyway, over to the non-political stuff.
Was it going to be a political photograph from mine?
It actually is a political photograph. Yeah, one of them.
Hopefully he's not hanging some poor drunken wombat out.
You're close. Here he is in all of his glory, if you see him.
Oh, God, does he have to wear a hat?
He has that hat. You noticed that too, yeah?
Yeah, I do.
He's in character.
Do you know, if he could actually dress up in a sort of a World War II uniform, he'd be striding around out there.
Probably, yes. It's entirely possible, yeah.
He's doing Australian LARP.
Yeah. He is down there in Sydney. You can see the bridge there, and just off the side, you can see the silhouette of the, what's it called? There's the Opera House there.
Yeah, that's the Opry House.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all he sent me. So, and then, of course, him and his better half there. So
that's a better photograph.
Yeah. Well, he's not wearing the hat, though.
He looks human.
He does, yeah.
I mean, the hat does. Oh, I don't know. I think he sent that for a bit of a giggle. He must have done.
He must have, yeah. Yeah, but it does fit him, though.
But he looks like something out of an Australian sitcom.
Well, that's okay. Maybe we can get him to talk his best Aussie accent when he comes on.
It's a black hat, though. If it had been a khaki one, he could have put some corks on it.
That's true, yeah. So, anyhow, on over to the space program. Yeah, you want to talk about a little bit about the space program? You got something there?
Yeah, well, things are still going on. I mean, SpaceX have already got it, so I think, they usually wait for quite a long time for the FDA to approve the next kickoff. I think they're doing another one next month, scheduled for next month.
The FAA, yes. Yeah, those two confused. They do just about the same thing, I think. So
The F stands for something.
Yes, it certainly does, yeah.
But yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, FAA, yeah. So I think they're expecting a kickoff next month for number four. But you look up on a nice clear night for those lucky people that have it, me, but there are so many satellites in low Earth orbit now, so many, and it's only just started. They don't realize that each day there's more and more going up there. Do you know how many they want to put up? They've only had, approval for 12,000.
Yeah, it's in the hundreds of thousands, I think, isn't it? Total
42,000.
42,000. I thought it was okay. I thought it was more than. What is that? Just SpaceX, or is that?
That's for what do they call it? The Starlink mega constellation.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
now
42,000 plus.
Yeah, yeah. Now Musk has said that they're going to do a separate network outside of the. They're going to have a commercial network, and they're going to have a government and military network. Is that all included in the same, or do you know?
No, I don't know. But the thing is, these satellites only have a certain life expectancy, so it's going to be a continual program of replacements as well. I mean, at present, I think they only get them up at about 22 a time. That's 22 a day. But
I saw one a couple of days ago. Yeah, I saw one a couple of days ago. It was they had 34.
34. They must have. Yeah. God knows how they managed to. But I think it's in the 20s generally. But this is why they want to get the Starship going, because that'll be popping up and popping down with 50 to 100 a time. Seriously.
Interesting.
And the satellites will be slightly bigger as well. Uh-huh. This is where you might be talking about your two networks.
Yeah.
So, but no, seriously, the Starship is designed to be a reusable thing, and that's going to be going up. I mean, 42,000, that is a lot of low Earth orbit satellites. And that's just SpaceX, let alone what other companies are throwing stuff up there. I mean, that's a lot of debris.
It is a lot of debris. Yeah. Yeah.
And to be able to functionally, this is one of the reasons, I mean, they want to establish the moon. So that once the moon's established, although everybody sees it as a stepping stone to Mars, which it is really, but and it's a proven ground for it all. It's basically they've got to be able to manufacture there. They've got to be able to manufacture on the moon.
Yes, yeah.
To actually make things work, there's only it's 2024, and we're supposed to be doing this year if the Artemis program was online. We're supposed to be doing the flyby this year, aren't we?
Hang on a minute. No. Did they push it back to 2025 or 2026?
Well, this is it. But originally it was planned.
This year, yeah.
Artemis 2 was originally planned for this year.
Yeah.
But like everything, it gets late.
Yeah, sure.
And it gets put back.
Yeah.
Because they had Artemis 1, 2, and 3 planned. And obviously the Gateway program, which is an orbital platform like similar to a lab where you can have a crew that goes around the moon, and that is why they sent Capstone up in 2022. That's an interesting thing, because that was a satellite that was launched in 2022. I think it was June 2022, and the idea of it was to just map out safe orbital patterns around the moon, because to preempt the Gateway program, which is part of the Artemis, because it comes with, it's like a lunar orbital platform basically, and that'll just be for crews to go from the lunar surface up for about either 30 or 60 days or something, or maybe up to 90 days. All depends on whether they manage to achieve it. But this is only supposed to be a 6-month thing, and that was its primary thing, and it's still up there. It's still up there, and it's in a what do they call it, like a halo orbit that the Gateway would be in. So that goes back to what people would call a Lagrange point. You have like 1 to 3 Lagrange points where things can have a stable orbit that is governed by the gravitational pull of the several bodies, which would be the Earth and the Moon generally.
Yeah,
isn't that's that like where it's at the moment. It's been up there for hundreds of days now.
Yeah, isn't that like the ones where we have what is it, geostationary? Is that what they call it? Where the ones that just sit out there and they don't move? Is that do I have the right term? Where
we got the satellites they don't seem to move.
Well, no, I don't know if they actually move or not. They just kind of sit out.
They stay in orbit, looking over one point.
Yes, yes, they're really far out. They're like 33,000 or 35,000 kilometers or something out there.
Yeah, it's like that's what they did with the James Webb telescope.
Right,
they found the Lagrange point.
Yeah,
so it sits there stationary. And it goes out there and sits there, and it's held by the gravitational pull. It's called a Lagrange point, and that's what enables them to sit at a point. And I think the Gateway is meant to be stationary over, once again, the southern part of the moon. Everything is about the southern part of the moon. Everything, for some reason.
And must be the point where we can possibly find water. I'm assuming you're going to need water for cooling operations.
Well, yeah, it's all about, I mean, they know they could mess around with the regolith of the moon because it's got the iron iron parts within the crystallized matrix of all that dust and everything. There's lots of stuff there they could use for manufacturing. And apparently quickly, because all they have to really apply is heat, directional heat, and how they want to do it to make it into a certain different structures. But you do that anyway with a lot, with chemicals and heat, you can do an awful amount of stuff. But yeah, but what gets me is one niggly point, because I like history, I like mythology, and I like all sorts of stuff. And you know, like you had Apollo, previous things in the 60s was Apollo.
Apollo missions, Mercury.
Do you know who Artemis is?
No. I forgive me for not understanding my mythology right off the top of my head.
It is the twin sister of Apollo.
Ah, got it.
And but they associate her with the moon. No, that has been all read wrong. She had nothing to do with the moon, but she is the twin sister of Apollo. I can see them doing that bit.
Wasn't it? Was it Copernicus?
And animals and stuff like that.
Was it Copernicus that was associated with the moon, or do I have that wrong?
Copernicus?
Yeah.
That's a person.
Okay, what's the mythological creature, person I'm thinking of that is associated with the moon that I'm not?
Well, it depends whether you want to go, because if you follow Greek, you had, it's like Artemis would be in Roman pantheon, someone like Diane. And they were all very similar. So you had the...
Selene was the one. It was the Greek goddess Selene, of the moon. Yeah,
yeah. They used to call her Selene, Saloon, whatever, and that's where the word loon come from. Yeah. So you've got Scandinavian. They all sort of mirrored each other with some god in a different name. So you had Roman, Scandinavian, and Greek, and it's really how very close the pantheons had somebody that could mirror image something from the other pantheons, and yeah, but. No, she had a lot to do with animals and stuff like that. But she was, I can see why they picked Artemis, because she was the twin sister of Apollo. So I can see how the follow-on is, how they can try and link it. But yeah, because Apollo was a massive thing. And what gets me is you don't see any of this through the media. Well, certainly not here.
No, not over here either. It's the space, the space exploration stuff, the space program stuff, all this, even the all these launches that are taking place by SpaceX. The only place you can really follow it is on the NASA live feeds, a couple of YouTube feeds, and Musk's Twitter, and that's really about it.
Why? What's the point? This affects the world. Why aren't the people? Why aren't the people entitled to see it? It is. It's like they want to keep them at this numb level. Don't give them anything to get G'd up about. That little bit of hope isn't allowed to spark.
Well, there you cannot say that don't give them anything to get G'd up about. They got G'd up yesterday because of that ridiculous solar eclipse. That did happen. God. I have never seen so many people just take to the viewing areas in the streets and everything else to cheer on a solar eclipse. It's like we've never seen one before. And you've got these whack jobs out today on American daytime television saying that the reason we had a solar eclipse was because of, guess what, climate change.
Really?
Really.
Oh, right. Okay. So one of those people had a head the size of a planet and its own gravitational pull.
Well, this is the individual. This is a daytime talk
show. All manner of
that
debris.
Is the one right there. Yeah, saying that the reason we had a solar eclipse is because of climate change.
Seriously,
really,
what a numpty! But she got paid for it by somebody.
Yes, of course, got paid by the networks. I think it was ABC. This is one of the view hosts.
She is ruled by the dollar, and anybody that cares for the earth isn't ruled by that. It's a tool to be used. What a dim shit. I'm sorry, but okay. The solar system was here a long time before you, darling, and it'll still be here a long time when you're gone. And maybe if we don't self-destruct.
We are about 3 seconds to midnight, aren't we?
But yeah, the moon is. See, this is what it's about. The moon is, although there's a lot to be done there, it is all about Mars. It is about Mars. And it's about, I mean, there are so many countries must have it in the planning. I mean, if you want to tell that daft bitch, whatever her name was, that actually the planets move around each, around the sun, that's what Copernicus had about, right? Copernicus, I think, was the person that was telling the church that the earth wasn't in the middle of everything, but the sun was in the middle of the solar system. Wasn't that Copernicus?
It could have been,
I might be wrong. But And basically, it's like if we wanted to go to Mars, it'd be what, 7 or 8 month journey if we had the right alignment. But once you've gone and they've got there, it's going to be another 15 months before you can get that alignment back again.
Well, not only that,
16 months.
There's no, until there's something established, there is no return journey. There's
well, this is it. This is it. Well, yeah, but you've got to have those adventurers. I mean, if you opened this up and let the world know, there'd be so many people geared up and wanting to go in that direction. You would get at one point, it was all geared up, wasn't it? Before COVID, yeah. Before COVID happened for some reason, there was even a crazy Dutch entertainment thing saying, oh, yeah, we've got this idea of getting pods out there and having a sort of reality show, you know, and of people who would like to go to Mars, although it's a 2-year stopover like thing. You know, if we could put it on telly and have real live reality TV, and I'm giving it, there was so, and the entertainment, I was giving it, I'll trust them to jump on board and everything. There was, I mean, I was at Cambridge University and there was even a few academics that had put their name down to actually want to go.
You're kidding,
there was a register. There was a register up and out there of, and this is when they started to realize that a lot of the young people didn't want to go. And you know, the main reason they didn't want to go, because we won't have Wi-Fi up there. How are we going to play our games?
You fool. That is life. That is life. You know, my God, live, will you?
You know what I mean? There's a frontier and everything. And we used to have these talks and debates about, hang on, because there's such a, you got the generation that saw the Apollo, everything happening between Russia and America, which, you know, and yet people were striving under really poor technology compared to today and doing things and striving to do them. And yet today there's no enthusiasm, and they don't want to recreate that enthusiasm by putting it through the media. They don't want to. And that's sad. That is real bad. That, well, it's a terrible sign, isn't it? That is a control and social aspect. And that's what they're doing. I mean, but it's out there, though. It's out there for people to see. Like you say, on the NASA feeds, it's out there. I mean, if somebody wanted to see the soft point of NASA information, I think it's space.com, isn't it? Or something like that. That were a lot of feeds.
I'm sure, yeah, you can go to there. You can
They advertise a subscription free, or you can get a magazine, or you can do whatever, you know. And but that's information, and which you can generally pick up a bit of blurb and then chase it up and follow it down for those people, you know, any points that you might find fascinating. Although you've got things like SpaceX, which really want to go the whole hog and be part of it. As far as I'm concerned, keep pushing, keep doing. It's amazing stuff. I hope number 4 goes really well next month. I think number 3, they managed to open the payload doors, didn't they?
I believe
so,
yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
they were able to get that test 50, done.
And it was up for 50 minutes or something. But hopefully number 4 is even better. They can learn more from it. It's good that they're not giving up. It's good that they keep going. But you've also got the tourist side, haven't you? That's Bezos and who's the other one? Who was when Bezos, when Blue Origin is Bezos?
Richard Branson.
Oh yeah, Branson and Virgin, isn't it? They're the tourist people, aren't they?
Yeah,
basically. So you know, they're into, oh, I don't know. Obviously, it's
they're into like the, they are actually doing the they're doing the low Earth orbit flights, is what they're doing. And I honestly, I think what Bezos is more about it's not, I don't want to say it's a low Earth orbit thing, but it's more of like just one of those I don't know. You just go up for like 20 minutes or something like that in the capsule, and then you can just kind of like hang there for a few minutes and then you come back down.
And then you come back down again.
Yeah. Branson is more of like an actual flight up.
A trip.
And then, it's a flight back down. So I could see that being kind of like what Musk has talked about, where you have we could circumnavigate the globe in low Earth orbit and just have like the glide flights to the other side of the world.
If once you're up there, if you've got the right manufacturer of vehicle, you could actually go long distances.
Yeah, quickly. I mean, think New York to Dubai in 45 minutes, for example. As an example, awesome. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Stop Oil would love that.
Oh, they would. Yeah, yeah. Did you see Greta got arrested the other day?
On the
Marty's not here, so I've got to show you.
They've not locked her up yet. Then,
well, they threw her into the. Hang on, I'll show you. Hang on, I'll show you. They threw her in. It's a total photo op. She was at the Hague, and you can see here that she. You can watch. You see the look on her face. You know that she's about to get snatched up here.
But no one else other than her.
No, just her.
Oh, she's smiling.
And of course she was, yeah. She was right there on the edge where they could just grab her up and they'll take her over to a van or whatever, or a bus or something, and they'll toss her in there.
And the camera's only on her?
Yep.
Okay, got you. Lovely. Put that on your blog. They just chuck her in a bus.
That's it, yeah.
Free trip home.
Well, that, and they'll just take them downtown and release them.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah. Here's something else that's been going on. They've turned CERN back on, the particle accelerator.
Oh, that's an interesting beast, isn't it?
Yeah.
That does suck a lot of power.
That does, yeah. It's the oil people aren't protesting that, are they? No.
And I don't think that's a fusion reactor behind that yet.
No, not yet.
Sucks life out the grid.
It does, yeah. They call it the Big Bang Machine, and it's at current time, it is smashing particles together at 671 million miles per hour. That's pretty fast.
Well, it is. And it's big numbers, but if you think about the speed of light, which is actually measured by, because it's so fast, in seconds.
Yeah, it's 186,000 miles a second, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the speed of light.
Probably quite close. That's quite good, yeah. And that's fast. When you put that into miles per hour, that's bloody fast.
That is fast, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, they are smashing particles together because someone's... And they only switch on when someone's funded an experiment. Someone's funded it in some direction somewhere. They found the money. Well, irrespective whether it comes out of taxpayers' pocket or not. Probably does eventually somewhere. But somebody would have come up with a theory to see if something works. But it'd be nice if it was... publicized.
Well, it is publicized to an extent. I mean, they talk about it, but it's not really, like, they don't show the results or anything.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
But the point is, the biggest problem academia has, right, is that when you put a paper out there, there should be two papers put out there. There should be one in layman's language that parallels the one that has all the maths on it and all the theses and ideas and whatever. There should be one that's a lot more easier with a spoken word to say what's happening here, why it is being done, and what they hope to achieve, and did it. And you would get more people interested if they could relate to it, not feed it out there just for the people that are of the same level of myopia as you. Because that is what academia is. If you channel yourself down a myopic corridor, you know, you've got this single vision and you really get interested in something, but you really should get other people interested from, you've got to be able to translate to them, because scientific ideas do need translated. They do need, you can call it dumbing down or whatever, but it does need translating down to a level, and you get more people interested. They say things about what we're going to do with all these useless people. Get them interested, you dumb bastards. You know what I mean? Because they are being stupid. There is a mass of people, all born with brains, all born with intelligence, that are a result of what environmentally affects them, whether it's their family, what people talk to them about, what they suck in through media and whatever. But there's a massive amount that you could get interested. And you know something? If you get enough people interested, they will come up with some really interesting ideas.
Yeah, but they're not interested in those really interesting ideas. They're interested in the ideas that they generate through their own little circular logic echo chambers. That's it.
Oh, you mean corporate computer modules?
More or less, yeah. Whatever they put together on those stages down there at Davos, that's what they're interested in. They're not interested in anything from the... And this is what... This is one of the other problems you have with, like, I don't even want to say academia, but the think tanks and the NGOs and these government people and these corporate people, none of them actually consider ideas from the fringes. And that's where a lot of our biggest discoveries and a lot of our biggest realizations come from, is people outside of those circles. But we can't have any of those debates because everything in the West is done by consensus.
Yeah,
everything.
Most of science and thing came out of fiction.
I understand, but we're doing peer review now.
People can't write that fiction anymore. It's just not there.
No, but we're doing peer review now for science. That's science. Peer it's not observation.
You mean,
it's
you mean when they allowed a manager to manage where they got the money from, yes. And then they had to do as they're told.
Yes. And everyone has to agree or you're not part of the group and there's no consensus.
So basically, I see the results of this experiment that we've that our corporate people have funded. They don't want you to actually word it this way. Can you word your results another way, please? And you can get funding for your next experiment.
Yes, that's exactly how it works. Yes.
Well, that, yeah, I know. It's crap. That is why when they had, that's when you've got some non-scientific managerial git that is a go-to between the group who wants to do the science and all they want to do is their science. And they're happy to think, well, we know the truth. Yeah, but don't you think you've got a bit of responsibility to let the world know as well? Oh, no, they're paying the ticket.
Yeah, they believe they know best. It's fine. That's no problem.
It's just a sad end to nowhere, that is.
It is, yeah. Well, we've got a sad end to nowhere with this. Scientists say that wearing blue jeans is bad for the environment. Wearing a pair of jeans once.
Yeah.
A pair of blue jeans. Yeah.
Okay.
Or just jeans, I guess, basically. Anything with the denim fabric on it. They say that wearing a pair just once is the equivalent to driving a car 6.4 miles, and it produces 2.5 kilograms of CO2 per wear of them.
Okay.
So
cotton is bad.
Yes, it produces a carbon footprint. Yes.
Well, if you want to produce a carbon footprint, everything produces a carbon footprint. If you want to put it down there, we are a carbon society. We are a carbon life form. The world is a carbon life form. So shall we just blow it up?
Well, yeah, because you got to blow it up to save it. That's the logic. Yeah. Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Join the asteroid belt in bits.
Yes. Because that's not made of carbon or anything.
Yeah, but that's everybody else that blew themselves up from everywhere else.
Yes, of course.
Because they thought they were saving the world.
That's like saying the Aussies, you needed to scuttle the continent of Australia because of the carbon in the soil.
Oh, yeah. Over the next 80 years, there's going to be carbon-emitting soil, Australian soil.
Yeah.
But they're pathetic. Oh, God. This circus is really getting annoying.
It is a circus, yeah. So the lead scientist on this study was Dr. Ya Zhao from Guangdong University of Technology in China. So I'm sure there's no political. Yeah, there's no political motive here.
No. Let's get all the Americans throwing all their genes in the bin, shall we?
Well,
what happened if everybody that had a pair of denim jeans then incinerated it, how would that affect the carbon footprint?
Well, that would be okay because you're causing a carbon offset by getting rid of that product, according to this logic.
That's political bollocks, John.
I understand it's political bollocks. That's my point. That's why I'm saying it. Dr. Zhao said that changing fashion trends induce people to purchase clothing frequently and use them short-lived to keep following the latest trends.
I'd like to say bollocks to that too. Because I'd say 50% of the human race, right? And the proof is in the pudding. You go down your main street, most of your shops are now charity shops, yeah?
In the UK, yeah.
In a lot of towns and whatever, you've got these shops, second-hand shops where everybody's donated stuff, whether it's for a course for animals or whatever. How much of that clothing percentage-wise do you think is blokes? We tend to
not
wear
much.
Our clothes to death.
Not much. It's women's fashion that changes, I think, what is it, every 3 weeks or something?
Yeah, and probably most of that's from China.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Chinese, which is, it's really rich that they're actually saying this, the Chinese actually bought the fashion industry from Milan in Italy. There's all the textiles down there. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
So, yeah, but most things that, you see, if they want to sort of condone or deny or whatever, most of the industry is coming out from there. I mean, you take specific, like, you take the biggest problem we've got with such things as great big internet groups, like whether it's Amazon, Alibaba, or God knows what else around the world, yeah, is that if you want clothing, that's fine. But it's all the internet business if you want to think about carbon footprint that's generated by internet business, is it's going backwards and forwards all the time. In fact, a lot of the time they don't want it back because it's not cost effective for them anyway. Can you imagine what it's like to get a specific, what's people's feet? Let's take people's feet. They're all different sizes, whether it's your heels are narrow or you're not a standard foot or whatever. You go get a pair of shoes off the internet. How many times are you going to have to go, right, I'm having them. No, they got to go back. I'll try the next one up. Or you're buying them at half a dozen at a time, different types, just to see if you can find something. And it's going backwards. It's self-destructive. Don't talk about carbon footprints. It's just ridiculous, especially if you become, if you went into a specialized industry like dance shoes. Think of that. Every specialist thing does not work on the internet, whereas specialist small businesses work, because you can walk in to one place, not go and take it from the counter or from the wall, have a look around, bring it in, try it on, put it back up there. You weren't sending it across continents. You weren't throwing it in the bin because they didn't want it back, because it's not cost effective.
Yeah, it's, you used to have, I'm sure you still can. You can still go. Can you still go to places in London and get in, like to a tailor and get a tailored suit? You can, can't you?
You can get a tailored suit. If you want stuff like dance stuff, the main cities, I don't know, you're talking about London, than other cities, you got to go to the capital. So you got to travel to the capital, probably make a stay of it.
Yeah, you got to be down there for a while, yeah.
Make a stay of it, see a show, get your stuff, but you've got to find that, and then you've got to put up with ULEZ or wherever it is. And then you've got to... come on, it's a joke. When they talk about carbon footprints, they're creating a mega footprint just because of that shopping industry. The internet shopping industry is disgusting. So China can go drop into a chasm when it comes to something like that. And if Bezos has got anything better to say about it, other than I want a bigger, badder boat for my carbon footprint, no. That mentality, the WEF and all that and all your global things, they're a bunch of lying shitheads, and they are causing a bigger problem as it goes along. And the proof is there. It's the industry is just mental. It is, and they just want to point at individual people and say, it's your fault because you wanted the item. No, it's your fault for ruining the industries.
Let's take a look at some of the delivery systems that might be dealing with that. Now you have a drone superhighway that is being put in the UK, and it will be completed by this summer. A 165-mile-long network will let pilotless devices fly between the Midlands and the Southeast. They say there could be a little bit of a problem, though, because of the noise of flying overhead, you know, to deliver all of those things.
Deliver what?
Well, you order something from Amazon, you know, you could hop under the drone there and have it delivered to the, you know, the back garden there on the little spot you designate. And, you know, you order a coffee up.
Soft landing.
You order a coffee up or something like that and you know, a pastry or something, and you have it delivered.
And it's a little voice, it's a little recorded voice, incoming as it comes past.
Yeah. So there you go. That's going to be the superhighway there. Coventry, Rugby, Cambridge.
Was that the Daily Fail?
Kings. It is the Daily Fail. Yeah. Oxford, Reading, and Southampton. There you go.
Why do they try things out in Oxford and Cambridge all the time?
Oh, I don't know. It must be Labour councils up there. Get all the money stolen off of it. So.
Oh, good God. That's pathetic. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Okay. It doesn't take much to build a drone and get it to fly either, does it?
It does not, no. And I saw a video. It was during COVID. I want to say it was in Australia. This woman had ordered a cup of coffee. Literally, it was just a cup of coffee and two donuts, and had it delivered. And she was out there filming it with her phone. Just to see how it worked. Yeah. And I'm like, you lazy woman, you could not go down to the shop three blocks away and pick up your coffee, but that is
stupid human nature. It's a case of, I don't believe this. I've got to order something just to see how it works.
Yeah.
Once. Yeah. I get the fun side of that.
I forgot to mention, she was complaining because the coffee spilled a little bit.
All right. Okay. What, as a parachute?
Yes, it came down. The drone got overhead, and it was like this. It was like this rappelling line that just came down, and it just dropped it off.
Oh my God! So, Oh, my Lord. So what's the difference between having a... I don't know. That's really weird. No, that's stupid.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It just doesn't make sense. I can't... The cost effect... No. No, sorry. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And they're going to put all these little people that have big boxes on the back of their little motorcycles delivering, whizzing round the roads and whatever to... drop off your Big Eat or whatever else it is that you ordered from somewhere.
Yeah, actually, I saw one the other day. I want to say it was on a beach somewhere. It might have been in the U.S., but it was a kite surfer that had an Uber Eats bag on his back and went right up on shore, got his kite surfing board up there on shore, dropped his food off and the drink off, and then hopped back on the kite thing and flew back across the bay.
Awesome. Hope he got paid well for that one.
I don't think he got a tip, no.
it just gets me, yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, if I want having a meal, right? Eating has totally changed. If you want a meal, you want to sit at the right level to have a meal anyway, whether it's at your dining table or even your breakfast bar or something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But you want it to be cooked, hot, nice, whatever, and you're going to send out for a call in.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you an example here of something that I went through. All right, just so you know, I was in Lisbon, and I was in Lisbon, and I was really hungry, and it was the middle. I want to say it was middle of the night. It was like 10:30, and you know how things are. It's just like places just close, right? So,
well, there are times to do it, but generally, but they're changing the whole attitude.
Yeah. Well, I go down to the front desk of my hotel, and the hotel clerk says, you know, the concierge or whatever, says, well, no, the kitchen was open. Okay, fine. Right. So I go over to the thing, because they didn't have room service. So I go over to the bar area where they had the kitchen.
Yeah.
And the bartender says, okay, well, we don't have this. We don't have this. We don't have this. We don't have this. Basically, they didn't have a damn thing. And I said, okay. I said, okay, I guess I'm going to have to figure something out. Yeah. You want something to drink? I'm like, no, I want some food. So I had no other option. There was no other option for me to choose. So I had to get on my phone and I had to do Uber Eats to get something. So that was the best I could do.
Oh, go hungry. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's
the
situation you get forced into. But that's what they're doing. They're forcing people. You see, everything has to be seen with a certain amount of cynicism. And then you work out how the jigsaw fits together. To make all the, say, not that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years, right?
We lost 5 years somewhere.
Yeah. Right. So delivery services of boxed meals or boxed products to make a meal with was quite higher than you going down and getting fresh veg and the stuff, and you could bring it home and cook your own meal. But now, funnily enough, over the last 4 or 5 years, all the delivery meals, which were a lot more expensive, now equate to the cost of, if not cheaper, than actually buying the fresh stuff yourself.
It has reached
I wonder that how that magically happened. Yeah, well, that was a big change in society to lighten your pocket or force you in a social different way. And it's not a healthy way either.
No, because you're dealing with processed foods more than you are actual, you know, fresh ingredients.
Yeah, either processed foods or actually having them delivered in all these boxes and everything, and your carbon footprint, where you might be able to go and get some fresh stuff yourself. I can see more and more people, if they manage, you see, why did they want to shut people down and put them in smaller places? So they won't have somewhere to grow their own food?
Yes, that's actually, we see headlines week after week now about how having a garden is, hurts the climate or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But corporate farming is a good idea.
Yeah,
We could take over the land and manage it much better than anybody has ever done on a large scale. You assholes. Excuse my French.
I guess that's as good a place as any to leave it. So.
Well, in France.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Well, it's been a pleasure, my friend. I guess I'll see you next week, yeah? Not this week, this week.
No. I've got family stuff to do, and
yeah,
there's a competition on and whatever. But yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try and put something else together this week with Marty and possibly Vince. I need to give him a call tomorrow and see if we can plan something out for either this week or first part of next. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
we're going to have something else.
I feel like I'm letting the side down, but I've got to get started.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We'll see you next week. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. We will go ahead and call this one done. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening.
Good night.